Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and I'm here today to preach the uncompromising word of God, a word of God that's able to change and deliver and to make God's people free. So the word of God says, whom the Son has made free, is free indeed. I don't know whether or not you're in bondage. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I want you to know today that you can be free through the word of God. And I thank God because the word of God, he paid, let us know that our God is faithful and he is righteous. And he paid the price 2,000 years ago for our healing and for our deliverance. So the word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, here on the Hour of Power broadcast, we want you to, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. And we would like to say Happy New Year to all of our listening audience and to those that's going to be joining us for the remainder of this 2013 year. To God be the glory. Well, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And we want you to just relish this time as we go before our God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word, have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being righteous. Thank you for being our high power. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you for being one that we can call on. Thank you for being one that we depend on. Thank you, God, for being the Almighty God. And Father, for this, we will bless thee and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, this is the Hour of Power broadcast, and we are ready and we are prepared to bring forth the word of God on this morning. Today we're going to be looking at the scripture in 2 Kings, that 4th chapter, and we're going to begin at that 8th verse. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and we're going to begin at that 8th verse. And it reads, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. So when we begin to look at those first few verses, we see this woman. We see Elisha. And when we see Elijah, we see of the woman of God, a woman that is the word of God describes as a great woman. I don't know what your definition of a great woman, but the word of God says that she was a great woman. Was it because her heart was was had so much of compassion? Was it because of her kindness that she showed toward the man of God? But the word of God let us know each time that she Elisha passed by, she restrained him. She could tell him that he'll stop and that he'll have bread, that he'll have some food with them. She showed kindness. And then she told her husband that she would see that he was a holy man of God. And when I think about the word of God, when I see, as I began to read in this word of God, it was an awesome thing for her to perceive that this was a man of God. That had to be something about him that stood out for his characteristics, the way that he walked, the way that he talked, the way he carried himself, that she perceived him to be a man of God. So the man of God kept passing by at different times. He came by continuously. So she thought within herself, and she said to her husband, let us make a little chamber on the wall that set for him there. And when they made the chamber, she wanted to put a table, a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick that the man of God could be able to see. And when he came to them, when he passed by, because they've been coming by continuously, and when he came by, that he would be able to stop, that he'll be able to rest, when he'll be able to lay his head, that he'll be able to get some rest there. And then the word of God says, fell on a day, verse 11, that he came there, and he turned unto the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to her, say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? I notice all the kindness. I see all the care that you have shown towards us. Even before they built this little chamber, they offered him bread, they offered him food when the man of God came by. And then I just believe that God had put upon her heart to for she and her husband to build a place for the man of God when he came by, that he'll be able to rest, because she knew that he was a man of God. She knew that he was about God's business. So therefore, she and her husband made accommodation for this man of God. So your kindness, if not, will stop being noticed. Sometimes people do things for other people, and they seems as though that the kindness that they do, it is left unnoticed. But yet God will notice, and God will have a man, a woman of God to notice and to know, and he, because God already knows that which you have done in your life and what you are doing in behalf of the kingdom of God and to the men and to the women of God. So here, there was a time when Elisha had called Gehazi and asked him to call this woman. And this is what he wanted him to say to her. Say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Would you be spoken for to the king? Do you want us to speak to the king in your behalf? Do you want us to speak to the captain of the host? Because we notice all the kindness and all the things that you have done to us, and we want to show some appreciation. We want you to know that we appreciate that what you have done. Your kindness have not been unnoticed. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So I don't really dwell among the king or the captain of the host. I'm just an average person. I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then? What then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child. He said, truly, she has no child. And her husband is old. He noticed things that she may have not even verbalized. She didn't even probably tell him the things that she wanted. But because of her kindness, no, you don't have to speak to the king for me. No, you don't have to speak to the captain of the host. So yet God put into the man of God's heart, Gehazi, he noticed that she did not have a child. And no, when he said that she doesn't have a child and her husband is old. Come on. So therefore, I don't know, and the word of God did not tell us in this chapter, in here, that what age the woman was. But he did tell us, the word of God says that the man, her husband, is old. She has an old, or other, which makes you think that he wasn't able to cause her to be able to have a child. And when this came to their attention, he said, he called her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, come on, according to the time of life, you, not your daughter, not your neighbor, not your friend, but you shall embrace a son. He didn't say you shall embrace a daughter, but he said you shall embrace a son. He said, by this time, you're going to be able to have a child. You're going to be able to conceive a child even when your husband is old. It didn't say, again, anything about her age, but in order for her to have a child, her husband had to be able to produce. He had to be able to have that seed in order for her to be able to have a child. But, you know, all the time, all the years that she and her husband had been together, they did not have a child. But it took the power of the word of God, the power of God, to be manifested in this woman for her and for her child and for her husband. So he said, about this time of your life, you shall embrace, you shall hold a child. You're going to be able to embrace a child, a son. And again, I love it because all he did was speak the word. He spoke it in faith. He spoke it in power. He spoke with the anointing. He spoke because it was going to be so. You know, and she would have said, you know, yes, speak to the king for me. Or yes, speak unto the captain of the host. I believe that it would have been done, but that was not her desire. But he said this time, in the next season, and the next time of your life, that you're going to embrace a son. And she said, no, nay, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. Don't lie to me. You see that I haven't had, I've been barren. You see that I am with, have not been been over, been able to embrace to have a child. And her, she's thinking that her husband is old. But when the word of God goes forth, it doesn't matter what it seems like or what it looks like. It doesn't matter what your physician says. You got to think about the great physician. You got to know that God, that he is God, and he is God all by himself. For the word of God says he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, look at God. Now, this woman, all she did was show love, compassion. She was kind. She was kind to the man of God. And this was her time that she was going to be rewarded. This was her time that God was going to do something supernatural and miraculous for this woman. And she was saying, don't lie. Do not lie to me. Don't lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived, just like the man of God said that she was going to conceive. And she didn't bear a daughter, but she bare a son at the season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, time had passed on. And it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head. I can imagine him saying this. My head, my head. And he said to him, to a lad, carry him to his mother. I can imagine him holding his head because his head was in pain. He was hurting. And he went to his father for help. And he instructed a lad to carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, she set him on her knee to noon. I can imagine him caressing, to holding that child and he sat on her knee. And he sat there, the word of God said, until noon. And then the child died. And then she went up, and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. She didn't lay him on her bed. She didn't lay it on, she and her husband's bed, but she laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door. She shut the door where the child was laying. And then the word of God says she went out. And then she called to her husband and said unto him, Send me, I pray you, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. I need to go. I need to see the man of God. I need to go to the man of God. So send me to the young men. She didn't call for somebody that could not move or somebody could not make haste. She didn't call for old of the man that could not make the haste and get there the way that the younger men do, but she said, send me the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God. And then unto the man of God, I'm coming back again. And he said, wherefore? He questioned her. Because he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that his child was dead. She didn't even know that that child had died. He didn't know that that child was there in the man of God chamber that they had built for him. And here in that 23rd verse, it says, and he said, wherefore will you go to him today? It is neither a new moon nor a Sabbath. And she said, it is well. And if she knew it wasn't the new moon, she knew it wasn't the Sabbath day, but she knew one thing, that her child was dead. She knew that she needed to get some help for her child. She knew that she needed somebody with some power. She knew that she needed somebody that was able to bring her son back to life. She didn't just sit there after the child had died. She didn't just sit there and rock that child, continue to rock the child, hold the child and grieve over the child. No. She went to the man of God. She went to the person that she knew that could get a prayer through, that can do something about this child. She didn't even tell the husband. She didn't want to get the husband involved in this. Because he probably may have tried to sway her not to go because a child was dead. But then the word of God tells us, she had told her husband, she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. Whatever situation that you may be in, I don't care how it looks, it may look like a dead situation. It may look like the lawyers of the prosecutors is going to come, and it looks like you may be going to jail. It may look like because of false accusations. It may be that it looks like they want to take your house. It may look like they're going to take the creditors going to take your car. It may look like the doctor giving you a bad report, and it does not look good. But she said, it shall be well. And then in that 24th verse, she settled and asked and said to her servant, drive, go forth, go forward, slack not your riding for me, except I bid you, don't slide down unless I tell you to slide down, to slide. Don't stop. So she went and came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is a Shunammite woman. He sees her coming. Right now, I pray you, he's telling this, saying this to Gehazi, run and meet her and say to her, is it well? Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, my God, it is well. It is well. She knew what she had left back at home. She knew the state of mind that she was in, but yet she said that it is well. And when she came, come on, to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by his feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away because he was protecting the man of God. You know how it is sometimes that you can't understand why when the minister or the preacher or the apostle or the whoever they may be of the woman of God, when people are trying to get too close to them, and not really know their intentions and want to protect them. But yet, he knew that there was something that was going on with the woman. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed. In other words, her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hid it from me and not told me. Sometimes God won't tell the prophet, of the preacher, of the prophetess, of that evangelist, might not tell them everything that's going on in your life. It may be at a point in time. Maybe God keep it concealed for a time, but it is for a reason. And she said to him, Did I desire a son of my Lord? She bringing him back to remember, because she let him know, I didn't ask for a son. Did I not say, do not deceive me? When he told her that she was going to have a son, don't deceive me. You know, it's like it's too good in order to believe that I'm going to have this child. And here I am. Come on. Here I am before you. And my son, who out of hell, who out of breath said, my son, who I have loved, he is dead. Then here in this 29th verse, then he said to Gehazi, girdle up your loins, take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. He is saying that I'm sending you on a mission. I'm sending you. I want you to go. Don't take any time to be talking to anybody. Don't take any time to conversate. And don't stop. And when you get there, I want you to lay my staff upon the face of this child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of a child. Come on, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. He laid the staff as the man of God had told him to lay the staff on the face of his child. So there was neither force nor hearing. It, as he laid the staff on this child still could not hear. There was no voice in him. Therefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. He did what the man of God said to do, but it was not any movement. The child did not wake up. The child did not speak. And when Elijah was coming to the house, come on. He was, just look at this. Now, he was a servant of Elijah, Gehazi. But this thing that God was about to do, it required, my God, it required the man of God, it required the anointed of God, a man that was in tune with God. I mean, a man that had the heart of God. And when Elijah was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and he shut the door upon them two. Nobody went in, but just Elijah shot, and that child was in there. And he began to pray to the Lord. I mean, sometimes when you're given up, sometimes that's when your faith is not really where it should be. You say, Lord, I pray, and I don't see the things that I'm praying for. The man is still knocking at my door. God, there is no money still in the bank. God, there is no food in my kitchen, inside of the cupboard. I don't see anything. But the word of God said, I remind you, the word of God said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you got to stand on God's word. You may ask for it, and you may not see it when you want to see these things, but you still got to stand on God's word, on the word of God, knowing that it will come to pass. He shuts the door, and he went up and laid upon the child. He put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hand upon his hand. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned, and he walked in the house to and fro. And he went up, and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Come on. I mean, when you look at medically, that child had been taken from the field to his mother. He died by noontime, and she put him in the bed. And on the prophet, the man of God, in the chamber, she went, had time to go to see the man of God. The man of God said, Gehazi, to put the staff on him. Nothing happened. Then the man of God came, and yet all that time, some of the medical need was said that this child, it was impossible. The child is dead. He's been dead. Too long, nothing is going to happen. But with God, all things are possible for him. That means you heard what I said. You heard what the scripture said, that the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in to him, he said, take up your son. Everything is all right. I believe that he was saying that it's your son. He was dead, but he's alive. And when she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, she fell at the man of God's feet. And she bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Oh, my God. She was still showing kindness. She was still compassionate. Even before she took up her son, she was showing appreciation. She was showing being grateful that God used this man of God to bring back her son to life. I want you to know today that there is nothing too hard for God. When I think about Abraham and Sarah, when I think about them in their distress, when they wanted a child and they could not have a child,
that they actually, God had promised them that they were going to have a child. It didn't come that next year. It didn't come in 9 months. It didn't come in the next year. It didn't come in that next year, neither the year after. But they had to stand in faith, and they had to believe God. Sometimes when we began to get out of the way and not believe God, sometimes we mess things up because we're trying to get things done the way that we see that it should be done. But I'm telling you today that you're going to have to wait on God. When I think about Abraham and Sarah, they tried to fix it. They knew that they were old. They knew that they were in their old age. And Sarah wanted Abraham to go in unto their the maiden and to the person that she had there that was a part of her home, and she wanted him to go into the bondwoman and have relationships with her to marry her and to have a relationship that they could have a son. This was not the plan of God. It wasn't the plan of God that Ishmael was going to come in that way. But they did not wait on God. But later, as we read the word of God, that promised son, the son Isaac, was came forth, and that Isaac was the son of promise. But I'm telling you today, don't mess up what God has already said. Don't go and move in your own way. Don't stop believing God. Don't stop standing on the word of God. Where does God say heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle going to fail? So we got to know that there is no failure in God. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you may be, there is no failure in God. God moved in behalf of this woman who has shown kindness. Your kindness is not going to be overlooked. Your kindness will not be forgotten. God looked and God knew that this woman, deep down in her heart, where her desire is, your desire may not be for a child. Your desire may be for a baby boy like Hannah was, that desire a man child, but your desire may be even something else. But whatever it is, whatever you've been waiting on, whatever you've been waiting for God to do in your life, all you got to do is stand upon that solid rock, stand upon the word of God. He is that rock. He is your fortress. He is everything that you need on today. So here in the word of God, I want you to be able to just to know that God, he's a God that never changes. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I want you to know this morning that power in his hand, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and there is nothing too hard for him. So I want you to stand on God's word, no matter how it may look, no matter how it may seem. It didn't look well. It didn't look good for the Shunammite woman, although she was saying it is well. But sometimes you got to know that the God that you serve, you got to know the God that you serve and stand upon his word. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, even as we'll preach this word, God, on today, God, we pray even now, God, that the people, God, that their mind, that heart, God, their soul will be encouraged. God, that they'll know, God, that you are God and God all by yourself. God, even in a bad situation when things don't look good, when the doctor given up, Father, God, we pray, God, that God, even now that you're God of miracles, God, when the creditors are trying to come, Father, take the house and take, God, the cars or whatever. when that loan, when that school loan, that they say that you can't have that loan. God is yet in control. So, Lord, we just thank you, God, today for moving, God, on behalf of your people. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, those, God, in the name of Jesus, that have found on my voice, those that have, Father, infirmity and sickness on their body. God, I send the word, God, this 2013, God, to them, God, even now, that God, that the healing power, God, will be manifested, God, in their body. God, no matter, Lord God, God, whether something is, no matter what they've been told, whether God is leukemia, God, whether it's cancer, God, whatever, Father God, the enemy has said it is, God, whether God, in the mighty name of Jesus, it's a tumor, whatever it is, God, even as you brought, Father God, this young boy, God, back to life, Father God. God, even God, as you got called, Father, the Shunammite woman, God, to be able, God, to have a boy child, Lord God, as the man of God has spoken. Father, we ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, that you would touch, Lord God, every individual, God, that have sickness in their body, Lord God. Everything, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the enemy has tried to come against them and hold them high. Hold them, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Cause them to be grieving, cause them to be sorrow, cause them to be crying, God. Let them know, Father God, that you're still in control. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, this has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the Hour of Power broadcast. We are inviting you to join us on this coming Friday as we again preach the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God. And yes, this is the Hour of Power. Whatever it is that you need of the Lord, just stand on it. Have faith. And to believe God. May God forever bless and keep you here.